So kingdom greetings to each one of you, especially those that are watching online. We pray that the word of the Lord today that will be spoken will speak to you. And for those of you who visit us for the first time, welcome. Return visitors, welcome. You know, it's we ask that the Lord bless you, and we pray that you find Jesus here, right? Because when Jesus is lifted up, he draws all hearts to himself, you know. So, of course, I've been in Acts, and that's one. I'm really bad at series, all right? I don't do sermon series. I preach the word if I'm in the book, depending on what I'm learning, what the Lord's teaching me, what I sense I should bring you. But I'm still in the book of Acts, but I've got like a couple of other things in my spirit. And one of them, there's a subject we've learned when PK was doing the School of Leaders. He taught on spiritual growth. And I remember last year, I taught on Christian spiritual growth. And one of the words the Lord gave me this year for our church, he said, this is the year for growth. I go back to that word. I said, Lord, I don't know what that means. You know, sometimes growth in our mind might mean that this place is full of people. But once again, the Lord reminded me this week, a healthy church is not a building full of people. Should I say that again? A healthy church is not a building, us here, full of people. A healthy church is however amount, 10, 20 amount of people who are on fire for Jesus, in understand commitment to one another. I mean, there's nothing. Jesus, I was teaching in Mark this week on the ministry school on Zoom, at the ministry school. And Jesus, there is a passage where it says Jesus' family came for him. And Jesus looked at his disciples. He says, who is my brother? Who is my sister? And he pointed at them. He says, these are my brother. These are my sisters. These are my mothers. Those who do the will of the Father. So a growing church, a healthy church, is a church who understands that God is a holy God. And we must live a holy life. It's a church who understands commitment to one another. We commit to one another. We challenge one another. You know, we don't judge each other. As a matter of fact, the Bible says to judge each other. But to correct, to judge in love. We keep the word judge has to do with keeping accountable. Accountability, all right? So with all this, I thought this morning I'm going to bring you from many of the signs, six signs of spiritual maturity. I look at my life this week. I wanted to just keep things in perspective. I want to talk this morning about six things you can check your life to see if you are a mature Christian or a baby Christian. Because I believe I'm talking to Christians here, right? Amen? Can I have a better witness? You all are believers, followers of Jesus. But the funny thing is you could find someone who's been in church for 40 years and they're still a baby Christian. And if they're not careful, they might even lukewarm, you know what the Bible says in Acts and Revelation, God will spit you out. You don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. So grow or die. I'm not sorry. This is a principle of life. There's no such of thing as stagnant. You grow or you dead. If anyone is in Christ, that person become a new creation. That means they grow from glory to glory, right? From glory to glory. Every day, every year, every day with Jesus is seated in the heavenly before. It's been a while since I had a solo of doing sermon. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus, and he's the reason I'm living. That's right. Because that we say this every day with Jesus. It's not only sweeter, but it's better. Every day I am in communion with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with the Word. I grow from glory to glory. So therefore, I grow or I die. Spiritually, mentally, now physically, it doesn't matter what we do. Exercise, plastic surgeries, boob replacements, butt replacement, whatever replacement they do, knee replacement. It doesn't matter. This body's going down. But the Bible says, as this body's going down, but what's happening to my spirit? My spirit is what? That's growth. So yes, this physical body is going down. But when I gaze in Christ, when I cultivate that relationship with the Holy Spirit in His Word, what's happening to me? I'm growing from glory to glory. Yes, my physical body is getting weaker, knee pain, back pains, headache, whatever. But what's happened to my spirit? It's growing stronger and stronger. So we grow or we die. Being stagnant is a lie that keeps you comfortable, you and I comfortable, with not growing. I'm never satisfied with my walk with the Lord. I always want more. You know why? Because I know there is more. I know there is more. So therefore, I'm always after more. I'm always in the Word. I'm always creating time to be in the presence of God. Because if I don't, guess what's going to happen to me? Help me out. I will die spiritually. Sometimes, we don't want to say it, but the principle goes, you grow or you die. When a baby is born, that baby is, either grow physically or some other complication, malnourish or, whatever cause the baby not to grow, will kill it. It's the same thing spiritually. And I believe there are a lot of people that goes to church who are dead spiritually. And that's not the will of Father for you. Father, this morning you want to check your heart. I know you are in Jesus, but you want to check your heart. Are you growing spiritually? Because if you're not growing spiritually, you die. Nothing in nature that is alive stays stagnant. I love hearing Kendra and Jerry talking about their gardens. I see the garden, I see a burden. But she sees the garden, she's like, she tells me all these things, all these revelations she gets when she's in her garden, because she's got to pull weeds and stuff. But the principle, one of the principles in the garden is the plants, they grow or they die. She's got this beautiful sunflower, beautiful like this big. It's beautiful, man. I took pictures of it. I loved it. I hope we had more of this. But then it's like after a couple of weeks, the sunflower looks dead. Vegetables, fruit, trees, we know it. They all grow. They either grow or die. The same is true for you and I. When we stop growing, we start dying. This morning, I want you, just like when you're thirsty for some water, it's humid out there. I pray, this is my prayer, that the Lord would create this deep thirst in your heart for more of God. I just want more of Jesus. Find where there is prayer. Find where there is a place to be alone with God. Come in the sanctuary. Mark your calendar. Make it a priority. Once a month, we call for corporate prayer. Make it a priority. Priority. Last Friday of every month. If you can't drive, call me. We'll come pick you up. So, therefore, some of you have no excuse. Make it a priority. There's no condemnation if you can't be here. You know what I'm talking about, all right? I'm not saying you condemn. That's religion, I'm just challenging you, because I know some of you could come. It's because it's not a priority. And a church that's not praying is a dead church. a Christian who is not praying, question mark. The same is true for you and I. We grow or we die. When we stop growing, even intellectually, you know, always learn something. Learn, you know, train yourself to learn, teach yourself something. Now with the internet, hey, it's amazing. You know, my call is a pastor, but my trade is a plumber. I'm a plumber. I thought I was going to be a computer repair, but I realized I'm not going to make a lot of money. Back in the days, I'm like, the guy that trained me, he said, you make more money being a plumber. So he trained me, and I love plumbing because you're fixing things and you're talking to people and stuff. So in the past year, I mean, I got my license to be a plumber. I mean, it was very challenging for my brain. You know, 3 times was a charm. I took the test 3 times, and the third time I passed. You know, so I mean, it's amazing. So I have that. I'm learning. Me and Jerry, we're constantly learning how to figure out the computer. I'm working with Dion. You know, he's teaching us a lot of stuff. So intellectually, challenge yourself to learn something. And I told you this already. As long as you're still breathing, God's not done with you. Professionally, but the top of the list is spiritually. You grow or you die. You know, there's a scary thing out there. People say, if it doesn't break, don't fix it. You know, let's not live like that. You know? I don't want to ride on someone else's passion. I want to have my own flame. And now people are losing their passion for Jesus. I post something on our Facebook page. I don't know if maybe some of you are not on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, like our page, follow it so you see what we post and stuff. Now, listen, the more you miss church, the less you miss it. Principle. The more you miss the gathering. And when we read in Hebrews, it says, do not forsake the assembly of the saints. So therefore, don't get into that trap. Be careful. Be careful. Don't get into that trap. And COVID not only killed, unfortunately, a lot of people physically, but it killed a lot of people spiritually. Because this whole social distancing, it worked. Whatever it did, okay? It's the past. But this whole mindset removed people from the body of Christ and caused people to miss church. And guess what? They totally got disconnected with the body of Christ. You know, spiritual growth is the process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit begins the process of making us more and more like Him. That's spiritual growth. And I want us to go in 2 Peter. Open your Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. This is one of my favorite verse in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. All right, you find it? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great precious promises. There are the promises that enables you to share in His divine nature. So for example, one of the promises that, you know, Jesus is coming back. So He's coming back, but He's coming back for a pure bride. So therefore, on that promise, I get to share in His nature. And one of God's nature, character, God is holy, right? So, are you holy? Am I holy? Yes, I am holy. Yeah. So now let me explain myself. For some of you, you think, well, the pastor's boasting about himself. He's saying he's holy. Through the blood of Jesus, I have been made acceptable to God. Of course, I'm nothing. Yeah, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But when God looks at me, he doesn't look at Ricardo. He looks at me through the blood of Jesus. So that justified me in the presence of God. So we have been justified. You know, you are holy through the blood of Jesus. Because of his promises, you partake. That's what it says here. You partake in his divine nature. And these are the promises that enables you to share his divine nature. And what? Escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So therefore, we know there's a lot of corruption in the world. But what happened to me? Because of God's nature in me, I get to escape those corruptions. So there's no way to be talking about corruptions in the world, in the church. You know, you cannot have those things in God's church. Verse five. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises, supplementing your faith with generous provision of moral excellence. This means growth. You're doing things. These next couple of verses are talking about growth. And moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for one another. Verse 8. This is our verse. It says, the more you do what? You grow. Growth. The more you grow in what we just read, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When people just go to church, they do their meeting, and then they're not growing In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. When people go to church and they're not supplementing their faith with generous provision of moral excellence, because there are people that go to church who are very immoral. You know, and culture, what is culture doing with us? Culture is trying to change this. Mm-mm. This is our standard, not what culture says. Are you with me? It says the more, verse 8, the more you grow in your self-control, the more you grow in your patient endurance, the more you grow in godliness, the more you grow with brotherly affection, love for one another, the more you will be productive. And then that leads me to sign number one of spiritual maturity. You put away childish things. A spiritual mature Christian put away childish things. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Now, from this verse, we could set a list. What are some childish things spiritually? When we all, you know, it says we were in darkness, we accepted Jesus. Now we're not in darkness, we're in the light. So therefore, there are things that we used to do because we're in the light, we can't do them anymore. But not by might, not by power, the Holy Spirit has empowering us to live a godly life. So therefore, let's say, for example, sinful habits, addictions. Addiction in a Christian life is a childish thing. And I'm not going to enumerate all a bunch. I'm not going to make a list of habits. We all know them. And I pray, if any of us here has any habit that does not glorify God in your life, get rid of it. You say, Pastor, it's not easy. Find help. Come talk to us. You know, smoking is not good for your health. Smoking probably won't take you to hell, but it'll take you to heaven quicker. And then if for some random chance you make it to being 80, whatever, and then you're going to deal with lung issues, you know, can't breathe, and all that stuff. So it's for your own good. When the Bible says, honor God in your body. Eating addiction. It's not just smoking. It could be eating, drinking. Drinking could be like drinking soda. Drinking could be like drinking coffee. To an excess. I'm not saying you can't drink coffee. No, please. I'm talking, you know. That's not what I'm saying. We're not trying to be religious here. No. I'm talking about somebody who's just like, they always have to eat. And then they run out of control. Physically, you can see they run out of control. Activities that waste time. That's another sign of childish things. Activities that waste your time. We are good. We know how to entertain ourselves. Oh yeah, we do. We know how to entertain ourselves. A friend of mine just told me about a show, Alone. I don't know if you guys heard about it. Alone. Friday was my day off. I took Friday off. I watched like 6 episodes. It was such a good day off. I woke up, I'm not reading the Bible. Oh, did I read the Bible? Maybe I did. But I'm like, I'm going to the gym. Today, I'm just going to be lazy. You know what? I'm just going to be lazy, you know. I had prayer that evening. But it was such a good, I fell asleep. It's a good, clean show. It's amazing. Those guys they sent out there, they have to survive on 10 things. We know how to entertain ourselves. But do we waste our time on things or activities that does not honor God? You see, a mature Christian will be able to discern what activity they're doing that's wasting their time. If you're doing anything that's wasting your time, if you're spiritually mature, you will know. Things that do not further God's kingdom. That's another childish thing. Anything you do that does not further God's kingdom, think about it. That's a childish thing. Anything it is. A sign of spiritual maturity is you have to put away childish things. So you got to put away childish things. Sign number 2. A spiritual mature Christian take responsibility for themselves. So what do? You bathe yourself. You remember when you were a baby? You didn't worry about that. Your papa and your mama took care of you. And then you grow being a toddler, 5, 6 years old, 10 years old. They teach you how to bathe, right? Take care of yourself. And then you're a teenager and you're an adult. Yeah. And then, of course, we all know how to take care of ourselves, right? Naturally. Spiritually, it's the same thing. Listen to what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. See, I'm going to stop right there. A spiritual, mature Christian might struggle to forgive, but they will forgive because they know there is no other way but forgiveness. You know? So when you talk to someone who goes to church and they're so bitter, that's a sign of immaturity. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you were called into one body. And be thankful. Be thankful. That's another sign of maturity. See, all this list right there, I mean, each of these six signs could be a sermon in itself. It's so rich. Be thankful. You know, instead of seeing the glass half empty, see it half full. You know, sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. I want to complain for the fact that the glass is half empty. But then I forget, man, there's half of water in there. There is half of water. Change my perspective. We are so blessed. Love your family. Love people. Let the peace of God rule your hearts, no matter what the season is. Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly in all wisdom. Let it dwell in you, teaching you, admonishing one another in psalm and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, you must underline that in your Bible if it wasn't underlined already. Whatever you do, in words. I don't remember who did this, who said this, but some of you guys tell me this. There's somebody that says, you know, preach the gospel all the time and use words. What? When necessary. Preach the Bible, preach the word. Use words when necessary. You know what that means? Let your deeds, let your action, the way you behave yourself, the way you treat people, the way you stand for truth, justice, and righteousness, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him. How do we take responsibility for ourselves spiritually? We take responsibility for our growth, for our own growth, spiritually. Number one, by letting the Word of God dwell in us. What do you fill your mind with when you wake up in the morning? I hope it's not first in the morning MSNBC. I should not say MSNBC because I don't have anything against any other. I'm just saying news. I should say it like that. You know, I hope you don't fill up, when you wake up in the morning, you turn your TV, the news. That's what I meant to say. The news. Because really, the news, there's no good news in the news. Don't get me wrong. I like to watch the news too, okay? But when I wake up in the morning, spiritual mature Christian, it's your priority, because everything's gonna strive, gonna fight for your attention for the rest of the day. So if you're not disciplined enough, a spiritual mature Christian is disciplined. You take responsibility for your own word, for your own growth. You let the word of God dwell in you. You let the word of God dwell in you. The word of God will give you peace, whatever you face for that day. We put on the things of God. What are the things of God? I mean, the verse right here. Maybe you can just leave the verse on the screen. It says kindness. Kindness. Oh, kindness. I was telling Kendra the other day, I think I felt like this week I was under attack. That's one of the reasons, you know, I have a motorcycle, but I try to ride my bike more like out in the country and stuff. I thought the other day there was a lady that, she was out to kill me. And I literally said, maybe she's possessing the enemy, she's trying to really kill me. She was so reckless. And okay, so then she passed. So on Mount Pleasant, okay, my favorite road. Mount Pleasant, slow down. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to stay away from her. So when I saw a little opening to kind of get away from her, I opened up. You know, my bike is a 1400cc. Guys, I opened up. She closed. She wouldn't let me pass. And then I'm like, okay. I pulled off. I backed off. Put on kindness, whatever situation. Because sometimes the enemy, I mean, we don't blame Satan on anything, on everything. But he's out there for you. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, he's like a roaring lion. Looking for ways to devour you. Looking for ways to kill you. Even sometimes using the people very near you to destroy your peace. But it says, clothe yourself. Clothe yourself. Clothe yourself. What? With kindness. Because today you're going to work. You're in peace. You had your moment with God. You had your moment with the Holy Spirit. But there's a trap waiting for you. What are you going to do? Now, as a spiritual mature Christian, what do? You be aware. You be aware. You like, man, what's going on with you, honey? Why all of a sudden you wake up in the house and you feel like everybody wants to eat each other? Last night we were having a good time playing games, you know. Sometimes the enemy does that. That's why God's calling you to spiritual maturity. Grow or die. Oh, I choose to grow. I choose to put the things of God on in my life. Amen. Another sign of spiritual maturity, the way you take responsibility, you let God's peace rule your heart. Amen. You know what? Whatever you're going through right now, you let it. You let the peace. You enter a season of peace. Oh, I have peace. I receive peace. Peace into this. The sickness, the season, you know, you let the season know who's in your boat. You remember? Jesus is in your boat. You let the season know that Jesus is with you. Jesus is my Prince of Peace. He's your Prince of Peace. Receive peace right now. I receive peace. I receive your peace, Father. I'm praying right now, Lord. I receive your peace in every season, every situation, God. I clothe myself with kindness, with tender mercies, with forgiveness, with the ability to give love. How do we take responsibility for ourselves spiritually? Whatever we do it. We do it for the Lord. Our jobs, we do it for the Lord. I don't do it for my boss. Yes, but I do it for the Lord. I do it if I'm doing it for the Lord, so therefore I do it with excellence. You know? Whatever I do it for the Lord. That's how you will attract blessing. I was talking to somebody, you know, trying to help them out, and I said, the way you treat people, the way you don't keep your words, you're not blessed. You're cursed. So then the person says, oh, now you're cursing me. I said, I'm not cursing you. So then he really got scared because he says, I'm from Jamaica and I do voodoo. He says, you see? He says, yeah, it's this voodoo thing. You know, it's like, I know you're from Jamaica. You do voodoo, you know? I said, no, this is not voodoo. This is just a principle. This is a principle of life. Seriously, if you're running a business, you forward, you're straightforward, you're honest, you're on time, you don't lie to people, guess what? People are going to refer you to others, so therefore that attracts blessings. You see, because sometimes people are waiting for God to stand in heaven and pour down blessing. But we forgot that the blessing that God wants to pour in through each other is in our midst. The way we treat each other. The way we respect each other. The way we do life with each other. Even in your business. And he got scared. He really got scared because he thought I was like casting a spell on it. I said, no, there is no such a thing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says whatever I curse is cursed. But we're not supposed to curse anybody. We bless our enemies, right? But there are certain things you do. Success is predictable as much as échec. No, that's French. Failure. That's a queer word. Failure is predictable. Oh, yeah. Principle. I go up on the roof and I'm going to fly. I'm going to jump in the name of Jesus. Guys, see you in heaven. Yeah, I love Jesus too, but I'm going to die because the law of gravity is going to kill me. It's a law. It's a principle of life, right? We let the word of God dwell in us. We put on the things of God. We let God's peace rule our hearts. Whatever we do it for the Lord. And then another signs of spiritual maturity, we feed ourselves. Now, I'm going to tell you this, guys. Remember, I grew up from a tropical island, so I know good food. I know healthy food. Okay? And I'm going to say this. I'm not stepping on your toes. I'm just a messenger, and I love you. Please don't eat food that will destroy your health. It might taste good. America has a lot of taste good food. Yes. Now, if you're 80 years old, you're good. You're off the hook. Bernie, you're good. You're safe. No, but, you know, seriously, guys, there's a lot of food out there. If we would take time to really look at it, you know, and we don't need that much food. Because one of the things we have here in America, we eat too much. Our bodies needs time to recover. You know? And that's the gospel. Being good steward. Study the Bible. For ourselves, that's another sign that you're taking responsibility. Now, I give you two signs, right? The first sign, you put away childish things. The second one, you take responsibility for yourself. And one of the ways you take responsibility for yourself, you feed yourself the Word. That's why when all of you are reading the Bible, you're in the Word of God. You're applying the Word of God. You're obeying the Word of God. We will have a healthy church. When we come, now, if you only come here and listen to me on Sunday morning, guess what? You will die. I remember I had a church. I was preaching. Maybe I give you the story already. There was a church I was teaching on spiritual growth. And I told them, I said, guys, what do you think? I'm willing to spend about $100,000 for like a month. I had a plan. I mean, it was just not serious, all right? But I wanted to give him a subject lesson. I said, every day, every Sunday, for 1 month, we're going to come here, and we're going to spend about 6 hours together. But we're going to eat. We're going to have like a family feast. And when I say family feast, we're going to eat lamb, we're going to eat whatever you like. We're going to have pizza, we're going to have vegetables, you know, we're going to have, you name it. And then we're going to have worship, you know, we're going to have a good time. And then we'll come back again Wednesday, we do the same thing. Under one condition. When you all go out, home, work, you can't eat anything. I mean, I thought it was really good because everybody thought I was really serious too, you know, until I gave them the condition. The only condition is when you come here, we eat all this, you know, you go belly full, you know, home and you feel good, you go take a nap. You can't eat anything until next time you come here. They said it's impossible. Therefore, I said, now, why do you put your response, your spiritual growth response, why do you put your spiritual growth on only this little bit of food I'm giving you right now? What makes you think that this is enough for you to grow spiritually? That's why you're weak. That's why you can't obey God. Because Monday morning, you're not in the Word. Because you did church, we did service tonight, that doesn't mean you shouldn't read your Bible tonight. That's what we call mass. You came to church to do mass. But when you are dwelling in the Lord, John chapter 15, when you're dwelling in the vine, you have that thirst for the Word. Everything I do it by the Word. If you come to my house, if you go in my car, I listen to country music once in a while. I listen to jazz music, R&B, you know, slow blues and stuff with a lot of guitar and piano solos and stuff. But reggae music, yes, me too. Don't worry about a thing. Everything, you know, I listen to that stuff. But the majority of time, you would find myself surrounded by worship music. You'll find our house is a sanctuary for the Lord. When people walk in our house, they walk in the Holy of Holies. We are intentional about that. Very intentional. Listen to this. It says, if you want to grow, you have to be intentional about it. And sometimes that's work. I'd say most of the time it's work. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to be intentional. Don't forget that word. Every time you walk out of this building, look at the door, top of the door. It says, be intentional. Be intentional. And I'm going to stop right there. And the next week, or maybe later, I will tell you the other signs. But grow or die. This morning, I'll ask Elisa to come play the piano for me. This morning, I want to give you the opportunity to really remake a commitment today again to grow. And that doesn't mean you weren't growing, or maybe you weren't growing. But the Lord has spoke to your heart this morning. And I'm giving each of you this opportunity to respond to God's word.